Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 369, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. How pleasant and how good it is when brethren in the Lord in one another's joy delight and dwell in sweet accord. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 369. Scripture reading for this morning hour can be found in the Acts of the Apostles, the second chapter, the first 21 verses. Acts 2, verses 1 through 21. But first we will read the holy law of God according to Exodus 20. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. And thou shalt have no other gods before me. And thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me, and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. And thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Acts 2, verses 1 through 21. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born, Parthians and Medes and Elamites, and the dwellers in Mesopotamia, and in Judea, and Cappadocia, in Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia, and Pamphylia, in Egypt, and in the parts of Libya about Cyrene, and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. And they were all amazed, and were in doubt, saying one to another, What meaneth this? Others mocking said, These men are full of new wine. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, Ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens will I pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above, and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So far the reading of God's holy word. We hope to remember in prayer this morning Chad Outsorn, who was in the hospital this past week. Also Dustin Grisnick and Nicholas Arnold Dusen, who have both received surgery in this past week. Mr. and Mrs. Gerald Maljars were blessed with a well-born child. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty God, Thou who art in the heavens and we upon the earth, but of whom we have also read in this morning hour, that Thou from thy high and from thy holy place, does humble thyself to behold the things that are in the heavens and in the earth, that thou lookest also upon thy own church, and that thou didst do as thou hadst promised, and as thou didst give thy people to ask of thee, that thou didst send in abundance the rain of thy Holy Spirit upon thy church for the conversion of many souls. Lord, thou knowest that we live in that same dispensation of which that was the beginning. Oh, that thou may look upon us and upon our dear children also. Oh, that thou may do the same, and that thou may give what we need also, when we are by nature dead in trespasses and in sins. Then it is impossible that we should bring forth one good thought, one good word, one good desire. There is not a single inclination within our breast that goes out after thee, the true and the living God by nature. Lord, we need to be born again, and thou sayest that it is a gift of God, that is the working of thy Holy Spirit in the life of thy own elect. Lord, may thou remember us, each and every one of us, oh, that we also may be counted among that number. Thou hast said unto us that we ought to pray unto thee, even when we lie polluted in our own blood. Oh, thou sayest that thou wilt yet be inquired of by the house of Israel to do it for them. Lord, we beseech thee that thou may be inquired of also by us and our children. May it be even in this morning hour, that it may not be fruitless that we have come up unto thy house. And indeed it will not be fruitless, because it will either be a savour of life unto life, for it shall be a savour of death unto death. O Lord, we beseech thee to have mercy upon us and upon our children, and that thou may come again, O speak thou, from thy high and thy holy place. And wilt thou send thy Spirit in rich measure once more, and that we may be wrought upon thereby, that we may truly repent and turn from our wickedness, that there may be a place made, room made in our hearts, for that blessed Son of God who has given his life even unto death of the cross for the sake of his church, or in order to put away their sin, in order to wash, in order to cleanse them, and in order to make them fit objects, that they may come into thy presence again, and that they may commune with thee. Lord, it is all a one-sided work. It all must come from thee. Oh, we beseech thee then, as those who do not deserve it and who have sinned away every right and all even of our own expectation, that thou may remember us only out of free, out of sovereign mercy and grace, that thy Son may be glorified and honored, and that thy Holy Spirit may have much labor in the midst of us as a congregation. Lord, thou knowest also each and every one that are truly thine own. Oh, may it be that even from that never begun eternity, and that it may be a day set aside by thee, even the fullness of time for this one or that one, that he has to be stopped upon his journey, that he must cry out, carry me out of the battle, for I am sorely wounded, that he may have to lay down all his weapons of resistance, that he could no longer uphold himself in his pride and self-sufficiency and self-righteousness, but that everything may be cut away, and that man may be brought low before thee. O Lord, that is now the working that we cannot give. All we beseech thee, may it be the time, Lord. May it be the day of thy good pleasure for many in the midst of us. There were on that day 3,000, O Lord, and we are not so many, and it is nothing for thee to work. Oh, with thee all things are possible, and from our side it is so impossible. But do it then for thy name's sake, and look on all thy dear children, because thou knowest also their desire. Oh, when thou hast wrought in them, then there is a desire that they may come back to thee. And Lord, there is so much that stands in the way. Oh, they put everything in the way from their own side. They have departed from the end, and they are themselves the stumbling block. Oh, that thou may take it all away, and that thou may open a little of the riches that are to be found for a wretched and a poor, undone creature. In thine only begotten Son, sanctified by thy Holy Spirit, then thy word is quick and powerful. Oh, do it, Lord. Look upon thy people and revive thy own work in the days in which we live, in the midst of the years in wrath. Remember mercy. Do look upon all those that are afflicted in this life. Lord, there were several that were in the hospital, even young children and an older child. And thou knowest all their circumstances. Those that are still there, may thou remember them And may thou sanctify these ways to their young hearts. Bless the means that are used for their bodies. And Lord, may it give a little impression, because we are so impressionless. And we go on so easy. And we continue in our life, even with all thy blessings that are not seen, that are not recognized, and that are not acknowledged. Oh, and that all also must come from thee, be with them. Even in this day, when they and loved ones are not able to come together with us to thy house, then thou art able to be in those places also. Remember the mother who has brought forth a child into this world. Lord, strengthen her. And when thou hast made all things well, oh, that thou may give in the heart of those parents an acknowledgement to thee, that they may confess before thee all their iniquity, and that thy goodness, oh, that it may overwhelm them, and that it may lead them to love thee. Oh, draw their hearts and also the heart of that young infant. Lord, be with all those that are weak. There are others, relatives of some in our midst. There are those that suffer from serious diseases. One also suddenly a heart attack. Lord, may thou remember in the places where they are. And oh, may thou draw to thyself in all these ways. Remember widows, widowers and orphans in all their need and loneliness, and in the cares that they have each day. Wilt thou strengthen them? Give us to bear one another's burdens faithfully. And look upon all the needy ones, Lord. Then there are places also in this world that are suffering from the losses, great losses. So many people, relatives, so quickly taken out of this life. And there is such great mourning. And there is loss of homes and loss of livelihoods. And there is such great misery. O Lord, may thou remember. And wilt thou heal. But wilt thou also instruct. Oh, that men may be instructed in the knowledge of sin. And that men may be brought again to confess and to acknowledge sin and thy righteousness, and that may beseech thee, the true and the living God, for mercy. Oh, look upon all those that have special needs in this world. Wilt thou look upon us also as a denomination? Lord, thou knowest that it is a day wherein we commemorate the pouring forth of thy Spirit. Lord, there is nothing that we need more in our own hearts, but also in our churches and in our denomination. Lord, must we not say that in the years that are gone by, that thou hast visited our fathers, and that thou hast instructed them by thy Holy Spirit? And Lord, if they should see us today, oh, then they would mourn. Lord, may thou remember us. Oh, could it please thee that thy truth, as it is according to thy word, may be brought upon the pulpits faithfully within our denomination, that thou may pour out thy Spirit upon each and every one of thy servants, and that thou may give also next week gladness, when we hope to meet as a curatorium. Oh, could it please thee to gladden us with thy deeds, with men of thy choosing. Lord, may that be felt. May there be an impression thereof, that it is not the work of man, but that it is the work of God. Oh, that we may easily be able to make our decisions, and that thou may give thy blessing for the sake of our denomination. Oh, leave us not to slide away from thy truth. Give us then wisdom as thy servant. Oh, give us faithfulness to bring forth thy holy word, which is not according to the flesh of man. But Lord, give us to look away from man, and give us to bring thy word in truth with all thy servants, and that this day may redound with fruit upon thy vineyard. Lord, we beseech thee in the forgiveness of all that is sinful, for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 358, stanzas 1 through 4, when in His might the Lord arose to set us free, and Zion was restored from her captivity. In transports then of joy and mirth, we praised the Lord of all the earth. We announced that the last collection today is for the Mission Fund, and that there is a little change. The consistory meeting will not be Tuesday evening, but tomorrow evening at 7:30 p.m. Psalter 358, stanzas 1 through 4. Congregation, it is a very special day. Do you know what day it is, boys and girls? It is the Sabbath day. And the Sabbath day is a very special day. Is that also a special day to you? But it is also in this day a special Sabbath day. And what special Sabbath is that? That is Pentecost. Maybe you say, what is Pentecost? Do you also ask that question, what is Christmas? What is Good Friday? What is Easter? What is Ascension Day? Those days are better known to you than perhaps the day of Pentecost. They are days that have to do with the work of the second person of the Holy Trinity. They have to do with the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the work of meriting of salvation for His church. And that work of that second person is so very important. And why so very important? Because outside of the death of the Son of God, then every one of us would have to go lost. And yet, congregation, that is no less true of the third person of the Holy Trinity. That is no less true of the Holy Spirit. Because without that work of the Holy Spirit, blessing and sanctifying and bringing, and that work of the Son of God to us in a personal way, and then even though Christ has given His life, even unto the death of the cross, then we still shall go lost. And we wish, with the help of the Lord, to consider something of this together in this morning hour and in this day. From the book of Acts, in the second chapter, and in this morning, from verses 1 through 4, Acts 2, verses 1 through 4. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues, like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So far the words of our text. The coming of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. First, the time of His coming. Second, the signs of His coming. And third, the blessing of His coming. The coming of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. First, the time. Second, the signs. Third, the blessing of His coming. Thus, first, the time of His coming. And what do we read? When the day of Pentecost was fully come. So in the first place, we see that it is in the fullness of time. We also read that of the Son of God and His coming into this world. That when the fullness of time was come, that God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law. Thus, the Lord, He very directly and He very explicitly says in His word that these are happening in the fullness of time. Thus, the Lord points us immediately back even to the Council of Peace. That is, before that time began, before that the creation was, and when the Lord was with and by Himself alone, that He has appointed certain happenings, and that He has appointed in the exact time that all of these things should take place. They are in the decree of the Lord. And we hear often that the Lord Jesus could not die before His time. No, that is a time that He had in His own power. But so that is now, not only with the meriting of salvation, but that is also so with the application of salvation. When that the Lord will come, and not only on the day of Pentecost, but that is also an appointed time, an appointed moment in the heart of every single one of His own elect. That time when the Holy Spirit shall be sent out for the working within their heart. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come. But that was also in a natural way, of course, because the Jews commemorated Pentecost every year again. You have learned that in school, children. What was that among the Jews? That they have commemorated each year Pentecost. What celebration was that? Well, then they remembered something. They remembered a very remarkable thing. That was their deliverance out of the land of Egypt. And when the Lord brought them out of Egypt, and then we know that He brought them before a great mountain, and that the Lord came down on this mountain, and that the children of Israel trembled, and when they felt themselves to be in that holy presence of the Lord, then it was at that time, that very special time that the Lord has separated the children of Israel and instituted the children of Israel as a people unto Himself. It was not before that time. Thus, before that time, then it was that the children of the Lord, they belonged unto the children of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But now we see in that time that the administration of the covenant that is widening, that it will include an entire nation, not just families, but it will now be that the children of Israel, as we call them, the nation of Israel, they are to be considered the people of the Lord. Thus He sets them apart from every other nation. And He says, this is My people, and I, He says, will be your God. Special time. And thus the children of Israel every year, and they may remember this again, and then they may commemorate this day of Pentecost. There is a second thing. That is, on that day was begun what is called the Feast of Weeks. And what was the Feast of Weeks? Well, that was a feast that had to do with the harvest of the children of Israel. And in that feast, the children of Israel would take of the very first sheaves that were brought in from that harvest, and they would wave them before the Lord. What did that mean? That had a symbolic meaning. That they acknowledged that the beginning of this harvest that is from the Lord. That is not from man, but it was from God. And that they were looking and that they were waiting and that they are expecting the rest of this harvest that also had to come from that same place. Thus we have the day of Pentecost amongst the children of Israel, amongst the nation of the Jews, that very special day. But now that day, that was special on another account. That was not only standing by itself in commemoration of these two things, but it was a day that was pointing to another time. Because we read when that day of Pentecost was fully come. Thus, when it was not only come in that year, but when what it was pointing to was now brought forth. That is, when it was fully come from the side of the Lord. Thus it was pointing to something else. Not only remembering, but looking forward. And when that day of Pentecost was fully come, that was pointing to two things. That in the first place had to do with another widening of the dispensation of the covenant. Because now that covenant will not be only for a nation of the Jews, but now it is going to be widened even further. At this time, it is going to be widened the furthest that it will ever be widened in all of time. That is, it will not only be amongst the Jewish nation, but it will include the whole world, every nation of the world. Thus, when that day of Pentecost was fully come, when the Lord will now give the final day of Pentecost in the time. Then there is a second thing. And that has to do with the very beginning of the harvest. And we know what happened on this day. That the Lord has, in a very wondrous and a miraculous way, brought 3,000 people into His church. And this is now but the first fruits of another harvest. It is the first fruits of the great harvest that the Lord would bring in the time. That is, the greatest part of that true church of God in all the years that this world shall be, that shall be brought in that harvest season, as it were. That is, in the last dispensation, in the New Testament dispensation, when that gospel shall go out to the whole world, this will be the harvest season, beginning in this time unto the last day of this world. Thus, these 3,000, they are but the first fruits of that great harvest where the Lord is going to bring in that 144,000 of His church that will serve Him day and night forever and forever. And our congregation, you and I, live in this time. You and I do not live in the Old Testament, wherein there were a few. There was an Abraham, an Isaac, and a Jacob. Wherein there was a Lot. Wherein there was a Noah.
No, we live in the New Testament dispensation. Thus, we live in that great harvest season, wherein the Lord is going to bring in the greatest part of His church. Do we not live in a privileged time? Is that then not reason that we may bow our knees and say, Lord, wilt thou give that I also and my children and my grandchildren may be brought in as part of that great harvest? And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, no, that is not a time that is known by the people of the Lord, but that is a time that is known by God Himself. And yet what was the condition of that church in those days? We can read there was an expectation. We know that was so when the Lord Jesus was born, also when He came into this world, then there was an expectation. And so it was also in this great harvest season when the Lord would not send His Son, no, but when the Lord would send His Holy Spirit. Then there was an expectation of the coming of this Spirit. How is that possible? That is because it was promised unto them. Thus, they were expecting it. And because they were expecting it, they were looking forward to it. And when they are looking forward to it, then they are praying. So it is not only a time of expectation, but it is a time of prayer. No, that is not such a prayer as we often have within us. Such a cold, such a listless, such an unfeeling prayer. But this was a prayer that was given even by God Himself. That was a supplication. There was an access before that throne of grace. That was a Spirit-wrought prayer that the Lord may give that thing which He had promised unto His church. And so we read that they continued in prayer and in supplication. We read it was also a time of harmony. Because when that day of Pentecost was fully come, and then we read they were all with one accord in one place. One accord. What a great blessing that is. When we may be in one accord. It is not always so. It was not always so with the disciples either. No, sometimes those disciples, they were jealous of one another when they were looking forward to that time when the Lord Jesus, they thought He would sit upon the throne of His kingdom in this world. And they wanted to be the highest. They wanted to be the greatest one. But now it is so different. Now we read they are dwelling in one accord. When there is no harmony, when there is no peace. When there is a looking by the people of the Lord even to be a step higher than one another. That we may be the most led one in that church of God. Oh, that is not a time and that we can expect the blessing of the Lord. No, but when we are now all waiting. And what are they waiting for? Oh, that is why there is such a unity. That's why they are all in one accord. Because they are all waiting for that same thing. There is one love. That is for the same person. That is all for the Lord Jesus Christ. Can we say that also here today? That there is one love in our hearts together that is for that mediator that God has sent into the world to take away the sin of His people. Or is there no love for Him? Oh, they are waiting. And that love for Him that is uniting them. They're all waiting for that same thing that is the fulfillment of that same promise. They are waiting to receive what they miss. To receive what they miss. And therefore, congregation, people of the Lord, there is communion here. There is communion. The communion of the saints. The communion of the saints that is not only when they may receive, but a communion of the saints that is also when they may understand one another. And when they are missing all the same, and when they are all longing for the same, and that they are one in supplication before the Lord. This is the people. This is now the people. And this is now the time. And these are now the circumstances wherein that church is going to receive a great blessing. Oh, congregation, how is that among us? Because the Lord does not change. He blesses the gathering of His people when they are all coming together. Not when we are young people trying to look for the entertainments of this world. You will not there receive the blessing of the Lord. Oh, the Lord is blessing His people when they are gathered together in His house. And the Lord is blessing His people when they are waiting together. When they are supplicating together for the pouring forth of His Spirit, that they may feel something of that power of His Spirit in their hearts. And then He comes in His own time and way. We see that in our second thought. The signs of His coming. And suddenly, there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. Suddenly. All of a sudden. Is that not the way the Lord is working, people of the Lord? Is it not every time again that you say what a surprising God that He is? Even when you are looking for Him, even when you are waiting for Him, even when you are longing, even when you may supplicate every day again and say, Lord, come, then still that the Lord, He is such a surprising God. And then how different that it becomes in one moment. Oh, how different that it became in the moment of your regeneration. When the Lord said, stop. When you wanted to go in the way of the world. And when the Lord said, no more. When the Lord drew your heart. And when you became from an enemy a friend. What a difference. In one moment. Then you could not go on in that same pathway that you were going. Oh, when the Lord is coming in the way of deliverance. Oh, then how different it becomes in one moment. Oh, when that people must cry out from being in the bottom of that pit, in that miry clay. And when in the next moment that they may rejoice, when there is nothing but darkness, and when in the next moment that they may receive an abundance of light, when they have no understanding, and when the Lord may give to them light upon His holy word, oh, then suddenly, in one moment, then there is such a change. And then there is such a change also, people of the Lord, when the Lord brings His church back from captivity. Do you believe that? That in one moment that there can be such a change? Congregation, do we believe? We often say how dark that it is. How little that the Lord works. Is the Lord the same? Yes, He is the same. But we have to see the reality. And then must we not mourn? But in one moment, the Lord is able to make this different also. That the Lord is able with His Spirit to work in the hearts of so many people at one time. And suddenly, there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. The wind, that is a very mysterious thing. Cannot see that wind, boys and girls, can you? Can you see the wind? No, you cannot see the wind. You only see the effects of the wind. You see the trees blowing and bending, and you hear the sound of the wind, then you say the wind is blowing. And yet that wind, that is something that you cannot see. But you see its effects. Thus the wind, that is something that is very mysterious. Now the Lord compares in His Word the Holy Spirit and the working of His Holy Spirit with such a wind. No, God is a Spirit and we cannot see Him. We say that this is the house of God, and we ask God to come into His house to be with us. And when Solomon built his temple, and then we read that there came a cloud in that house. And then the Lord filled that house with His presence, but there was something that was also seen. And the Lord is not doing so today. No, but that does not mean that the Lord is not sending His Spirit. But it is the effects of that Holy Spirit that will be noticed, that will be felt, that will be experienced in the heart of mankind. That when we read that was, as it were, that was not in actuality, no, but it was the sound thereof, as of a rushing, a mighty wind. We would say a hurricane or a tornado. And that wind is blowing so hard. And there are those in our days that know the destruction that such a wind can cause. The power that is behind that wind. Who can now stand in that power? Who can now stand against that power of that wind? And when you would stand in that wind that was so mighty, you would feel that might. And when it would be picking up our houses, and when we'd be picking up our businesses and our automobiles and the trees, then we would know how forceful, how mighty is that wind. The Lord is now comparing His Spirit to that wind that is mighty and that is irresistible. Is that not something? That is what we pray for, congregation, when we ask the Lord to come with His Spirit. Arminius said, no, you can resist it. You can resist it. God is strong. Man is stronger. And we are the ones that need to believe. We are the ones that need to exercise a power. And if we do not do that, then God, as it were, He stands by helpless watching, can do nothing. As a weak God and a mighty man. Oh, where is the comfort for you? You ever feel your weakness? You ever say, Lord, I cannot convert myself. Lord, I cannot believe. Arminius says you must do it. Then it is hopeless. Then it is hopeless. Then I cannot be saved. No congregation, we read here, of an irresistible wind. And we bring that forward to you. Why would we bring that forward to you? We bring that forward to you that you would not despair. Because there is hope for us to be converted. That is why we bring that forward. A mighty, an irresistible wind that is able to change our heart, that is able to give us a new life. Therefore, go on your knees and ask Him who has the power as that irresistible wind, or ask for the power of that irresistible Spirit of the Lord to give you a new heart. A new heart. A heart that may turn its back upon this world. That may flee from sin. I may begin to hate sin when now I love sin. Here is our hope. For the first time, here is the hope of the true church by renewal. Here, mothers and fathers, do you ever say, "Oh, if I only could convert my children"? Here is the power, irresistible, a rushing, mighty wind. And if they are today not in God's house, and if they have left that truth that you have attempted to instruct them in, then there is one who is able to stop them. It was a mighty, a rushing wind. We read also of a second sign that appeared unto them, cloven tongues as of fire. Fire, that is a sign of the presence of God. When the Lord would call Moses, then we read that he appeared to Moses how in a bush that was burning. Thus the Lord appeared to Moses in the fire. We read of the children of Israel, there is a pillar of cloud and of fire that is going before them. How did Israel know that Elijah, he was the servant of the Lord? Because the Lord answered him upon that sacrifice with fire from heaven. Fire, a symbol of the presence of the Lord, a symbol of the majesty, a symbol of the justice of the Lord. So the children of Israel stood before the lightnings of the Lord at Sinai. So Ahab's companies of 50s had to experience the justice of the Lord. And when they are struck by the lightning of the Lord, when they would come against that servant of the Lord, thus fire. And that fire that is here, we read in a certain shape, we read of cloven tongues. Why? Because those tongues, they are representing words. Tongue is what we speak with. Thus it is the word of God. And that word of God that is going to be in the presence of the Lord as a sharp two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing of sunder of soul and spirit, of the joints and of the marrow. Be a discerner of the thoughts and of the intents of the heart of men. Clove in tongues the word in the presence of God, irresistible. And a fire, what will that do? A fire will purify. What do? We put the metals in the fire and we separate the good from the bad, and we take out all of the impurities by that fire. And so that word of God that is going to be working, even to take out all that is impure, and that is to try that church within that fire. Well, that fire that is also giving light. And that light will be for the understanding of His people. That is what the Lord Jesus had promised. He had promised that Comforter, that He would send that Comforter unto them, and that that Comforter was going to bring all things into their remembrance whatsoever He has said unto them. This is now what we see fulfilled in these moments, because Peter, he begins to preach by the inspiration of this Holy Spirit. And then we hope to see further also in this afternoon, the Lord willing, what this preaching is going to bring forth in the midst of this multitude of people. It is going to begin to discern. It is going to be a power. It is going to be an irresistible force in the midst of this people, congregation. Do we not desire in the hearing of the preaching of that word of God, that the Lord would come? You say it is a simple means. That is true. A simple means. Just a man speaking, explaining that word of God. That is now what the Lord is going to use to gather His church in that last dispensation, the greatest number of His people. And it is going to go out as an irresistible force. No, not all the media of this world, but just the power of the tongue and the foolishness of preaching. Let us sing from Psalter 415, stanzas 2 and 4. Unto me, O Lord Jehovah, show thy ways and teach thou me, so that by thy Spirit guided, clearly I thy paths may see. In thy truth wilt thou me guide? Teach me, God of my salvation. All the day for thee I bide, Lord, with eager expectation. 2 and 4 of Psalter 415.
Thank you.
our last thought, the blessing of the coming of the Holy Spirit. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. What does that mean? Were the disciples not recipients of the Holy Ghost before the day of Pentecost? Oh, they had to be. How is it possible that the disciples had cast out devils and that they had healed the sick when it was not the Holy Ghost that was working in and with and by them? But the Lord indeed had promised more than this. We read already of John the Baptist that he said, I indeed baptize you with water, but there is one that cometh after me, and he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Thus he says, you shall be baptized in it. You shall be immersed in it. He shall be poured out. Then you shall not only experience the deeds and the workings of the Holy Spirit, but it is actually the person of that Holy Spirit who shall come to dwell in you. What is the meaning of Pentecost? We know when that the Lord Jesus was born in this world, in his incarnation, that he was called Emmanuel, God with us. That is, God with his church. That is Christmas. When we think of the meaning of Good Friday, then we see the Son of God hanging upon that cross, not for himself, but as a substitute for sinful creatures. That is, not God with us, but now God for his church. That is Good Friday. What is now taking place on Pentecost? Then the Lord is pouring out of his Spirit to come and to dwell in his church. That is God in his church. What does this now mean for his disciples? There are two things. There is, in the first place, a personal blessing. And there is, in the second place, an official blessing for these disciples. Thus, it has to do, that personal blessing, with the leadings of the Holy Spirit in those steps of grace wherein the Lord is instructing every one of his children, one more, one less. There is what we call, as men, the concerned church of God by regeneration, who do not feel themselves to be part of the church of God at all, but who have to experience that they are on the outside of that true church of God. The substance of Christmas is experienced by that church when the Lord is opening a door of hope in that valley of Achor. Then they may come to see or to know, to experience something of what Christmas actually means. When the Lord is leading them
and when they may experience what Good Friday is, then they are brought in a way that they had never thought before, because they thought to increase from step to step, and that was also the expectation of the disciples. But they did not increase, but when it went through a way of decrease, until on Good Friday, that church that has to come to accept its own guilt. We indeed justly, we receive the due reward of our deeds. So just is that righteous God, when he would never convert me, when he would never receive me, when I would be forever cast out into that eternal abyss, separated from him forever and forever. For such a people, Easter, that is but 3 days behind, we say just a short time behind, and what is now experienced in the heart of that people, on Easter they may learn to know by their own personal experience how that it is possible that God can be just, he can keep his honor, and still be the justifier of the ungodly. It is in the experience of that substance of Easter, and that a man is learning what it means to be justified by his judge, so that he is not brought to be dealt with judicially by the Lord anymore.
So that is something. And that is true. And yet for the people, congregation, it is not enough. It is not sufficient. And why? Why do they desire to be forgiven? Why do they desire to be justified? That is, not only so that they do not have to experience the just punishment of God, no, that they have come to agree with. There is something else. You know, when that is planted in the day of regeneration. And what is that? That is missing God. Thus, it is one thing to be justified, and it is one thing to have a right to enter into heaven, and it is another thing to be brought there. And now, when that church may come to experience the substance of what Ascension Day means, then they are brought back again with the Lord Jesus Christ into the heart of the Father. That is now what longing was born in that new birth. That is to be reunited again with God my Maker. And there they may be reunited with him, not only as their Maker, but now in a new relation as their Father. Thus, Ascension Day. And now, finally, we today commemorate Pentecost. And what is Pentecost in the experience of the people? It is the confirmation of that Ascension Day, so that people
they now may be given the freedom by the working of that Holy Spirit to say, Abba, Father. Thus, what is revealed to them in that ascension, that is, as it were, received in the application in that day of Pentecost. Oh, how many blessings belong to that people. No, we do not say that every one of that people may experience these highest steps that the Lord is instructing some of His people in, still in this life. No, these are not essential steps to know for salvation, but they are for the comfort of that church here below. But we cannot but believe that the disciples, that they were led somewhat into these steps of grace, some more perhaps, some less. But you say, was that not necessary that they may preach, that they may experience those highest steps? No, these disciples, they have been sent out by the Lord and had to preach even before that day of Pentecost. There was something else that the Lord had to give to those disciples. That was not only a personal blessing, but it was an official blessing. What do we read, boys and girls, of King Saul? We read that God gave him another heart. Do your mother and father teach you to pray for another heart? No, you say, minister, my father and mother say it a little differently. But it's a big difference. No, then they teach you to pray for not another heart, but they teach you to pray for a new heart. What is the difference? Saul did not have a new heart. He did not receive that personal blessing from the Lord. But he received a heart to reign. He received the official gifts of the Lord that were necessary for him to be a leader of that true people of the Lord. And now when the Lord is sending His servants, yes, then He is truly giving to them a new heart. But then the Lord is not leading every one of His servants into every one of those steps of grace. No, the Lord knows what is necessary for His servants, because the Lord also knows to whom they have to preach. And then it can be when he has experienced the highest of those steps that he is preaching much too high for all the needs that are in the congregation of the Lord. The Lord is wise. His wisdom that is so far above our wisdom. But we see here that the Lord is giving to His servants a mouth. He gave them a voice. We read they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And so the Spirit instructs them that they may preach. And the Spirit shows to them the meaning of all those things that have happened in these past weeks. Oh, then the Spirit shows to them how that the Lord Jesus had to suffer. The Lord gives them to know what the meaning is of all the Old Testament prophecies, that they may be able to explain it. The Lord gives them to enter into the meaning of the justification of Christ. that they may preach the forgiveness of sins to the chiefest of sinners in this world. Congregation, who can fathom those rich blessings of that Spirit of the Lord? That Holy Spirit, He is in the life of God's children, the last person of that Trinity to be known. But He is the first one whose work is experienced. Because His work is experienced even in that first day of that new birth. And now to know Him in the highest steps. Oh, that is precious, people of the Lord. Oh, will you not desire to make your calling and election sure? And yet it is not the most essential thing. But to miss it altogether. When we miss it altogether, the working of that Spirit of the Lord, congregation, then we shall go lost. Here is that person that is taking that work of Christ and he is applying it unto the heart of a wretched and of a lost sinner. Oh, may we be given to pray. Even as those disciples prayed, that the Lord may come in our day. Oh, then next week when we must meet as a curatorium, oh, then we may hear something, that the Lord is sending forth men. Oh, then it may be heard on the pulpits, from congregation to congregation, that it is the Lord who is instructing His servants to bring His word. Then it may also be seen what is the fruit when it may be heard from the mouths of those to say, "Come, all ye that fear God, and I will tell you what He has done unto my soul." Oh, may that be the experience of us as a denomination, but also of us as a congregation and individuals, families, with our children. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, all who can even pray to Thee, Lord, bless Thy word. Oh, that it might be irresistible this day. It is but the foolishness of preaching. Lord, forgive all that was amiss. But oh, come, that the fruit may be known in eternity. Forgive our sins. Bring us safely home. And with a desire to gather in this afternoon again. For Jesus' sake. Amen. 374, stanzas 1, 4, and 5. O praise ye the name of Jehovah. Proclaim ye His glory abroad. O praise Him, ye servants appointed to stand in the house of our God. 1, 4, and 5 of Psalter 374.
Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.